One of the earliest lessons that I picked up when I got started in marketing was that if you wanted to be really great at creating marketing messages that actually generated response, one of the most important things that you could do is actually study the classic advertisers to really get to know the lessons in how to move human beings into action, into a purchase decision that have persisted through decades, probably centuries, but there's not a lot of, classic multiple hundred years old advertising books. And one of the classic advertisers is Robert Collier. And you might recognize the Robert Collier letter book. He was a copywriter 100 years ago or so. The copyright on my book is 1937. He was successful in direct mail even through the Great Depression. And in the Robert Collier letter book, there's all sorts of lessons. And one of them, and it's not the main topic today, is Robert Collier was actually the source for so many copywriters of the generation before me, like the people who were coming up in the late direct mail days, for things like grabber mail. So Dan Kennedy, Gary Halbert, very famous for using grabbers, putting a penny on the top of a letter, putting a dollar on the top of a letter, putting a picture on the top of a letter. All of that stuff has roots 100 years ago. And so, for example, in the Robert Collier book, he's got an example of coin attached here. It's a wonderful thing, the power of money to make money. Just this little insignificant penny invested at the birth of Christ at interest of only 4% compounded semi-annually would today amount to more than, and it's two with a whole bunch of zeros that put it up well beyond a trillion, many times the wealth of the world. And so he demonstrated, okay, so here's how to put a penny at the top of a letter. He also did, he had fundraising letters that had pictures of people on it that was the voice of the letter. He even did, or at least collected, a dollar bill letter that was a fundraising letter for a hospital. And it was a dollar bill, like 100 years ago, when a dollar bill was worth a whole lot more than it is today. 100 years ago, dollar bill clipped to the top of a letter. Dear Mr. Jones, here's a dollar. Yes, it's a real dollar, nice and clean and new. Keep it if you want to after you've read this letter, but I don't believe you will then. Here's what it's all about. I made an investment of $1,000 in human nature, human kindness. I've mailed $1,000 and 1,000 letters to 1,000 people picked at random. I've done this because I believe that everyone is really kind way down inside. No one is really heartless, and that the only reason why folks do not help where help is needed is just because these needs are not impressed upon them hard enough. And that's the mission of each of my $1,000, to impress the importance of a need. The $1,000 is my subscription to the blank hospital. So insert the name of the hospital here. And I'm investing in the belief that everyone will bring back several more, at least another with it. So our subscription, which I'm starting in this way, will be at least 2,000, maybe five, for there's going to be a lot of you who will send a five or a 10 or more when you mail my dollar back. Remember, both my dollar and your dollars go to help crippled children. Will everyone come back? Will everyone bring something more? Are people really kind or really heartless? Have I made a good investment? What is your answer? Sincerely, and a signature. And apparently, that letter had more than a 90% response rate. They actually mailed 175,000. They got back $270,000 plus more than 90% of the $1 bills mailed out with them. And from that list of more than 150,000 people who gave that 270,000, further donations were secured to the amount of nearly $14 million. And so it was a direct mail fundraising using the dollar bill letter back 100 years ago, again, when the dollar was worth a lot more. But that's not the main point. I actually want to talk about one of Robert Collier's most famous lessons, which is to enter the conversation already going on in your prospect's head. And this is getting a little long of an intro, so we'll hit the intro music and we will be back with the lesson. These are the proven direct response marketing, copywriting, and entrepreneurship success strategies you can use today to write your own ticket and create the life you want. I am Roy Furr, and this is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Now, here's today's breakthrough. Okay, so chapter one of the Robert Collier letter book is titled, What is it that makes some letters pay? And I'm skipping down to the end of the first page, and this is his, you know, his summation statement of what makes effective marketing effective. The reader of this, and by the way, most of his stuff was done via direct mail letter. So the reader of this letter wants certain things. The desire for them is consciously or unconsciously the dominant idea in his mind all the time. You want him to do a certain definite thing for you. How can you tie this up to the thing he wants in such a way that the doing of it will bring him a step nearer to his goal? So it's about matching your prospect's desires. It matters not, and again, like this was written 100 years ago, so it's all he. Take out the gender of the recipient here, but I'm going to quote it by the language in the book. It matters not whether you are trying to sell him a raincoat, making him a proposal of marriage, or asking him to pay a bill. In each case, you want him to do something for you. Why should he? Only because of the hope that the doing of it will bring him nearer his heart's desire, or the fear that his failure to do it will remove that heart's desire farther from him. Put yourself in his place, and this is the important. Put yourself in his place. If you were deep in discussion with a friend over some matter that meant a great deal to both of you, and a stranger came up, slapped you on the back, and said, "See here, mister, I have a fine coat I want to sell you," what would you do? Examine the coat with interest and thank him for the privilege, or kick him and the coat down the nearest stairs and blister both with a few choice adjectives in the process? Well, much the same thing happens when you approach a man by mail. He is deep in a discussion with himself over ways and means of getting certain things that mean a great deal to him. You butt in, that is the only term that describes it, and blandly tell him to forget those things that so deeply concern him and consider your proposition instead. Is it any wonder he promptly tells you where to head in, and lacking the ability to reach you, takes it out on your letter instead? Then what is the right way to approach him? How would you do it if you were approaching him in person? If he were talking to someone, you'd listen for a while, wouldn't you, and get the trend of the conversation. Then, when you chimed in, it would be with a remark on some related subject, and from that, you would bring the talk around logically to the point you wanted to discuss. It should not be much more difficult in a letter. There are certain prime human emotions with which the thoughts of all of us are occupied a goodly part of the time. Tune in on them, and you have your reader's attention. Tie it up to the thing you have to offer, and you're sure of his interest. Okay, so reading the quote here, it's all about, like, I love the image there. It's about this conversation that's going on, and we can use the image of a conversation that somebody else is having, right? Like, we can use the image of our prospect having a conversation with someone else about the relevant subjects relevant to our product or service. Because at different times of the day, if we have a product or service that's going to be valuable to our prospect, that conversation is going through their head. There's some aspect of that conversation that comes into their conscious awareness at some point. So, you know, grouping it into the big three topics, you know, they want to be more wealthy. So there's some kind of money thought involved. They want to be more healthy, whether that's mentally healthy, physically healthy. You know, they're experiencing some negative or positive around money, some negative or positive around health, and also some negative or positive around relationships. So they want improvement in these things. They want to move away from the negative or towards the positive. And there are conversations going on in their head. And most likely, they're going to be a buyer in the markets that are related to the topics of the most dominant conversations in their head. And that's why, as marketers, like Robert Collier, I think a lot of people, you know, share a quote without actually looking at the book, because that's about the closest quote that you can get to his core, what is it, maxim of entering the conversation in your prospect's head. So most people misquote it, but it's still the same lesson, right? But how do you do that? Well, one great example of that is what I have been doing already this week. Earlier this week, I put out a survey to my audience, to you as my subscriber, as my viewer, as my listener, however you get these daily Breakthrough Marketing Secrets episodes. And I asked you to share with me, like, what big challenges you have or what big questions you have around marketing and around growing your business. And I'll include a link in the description with this episode. So if you haven't answered that survey yet, you can absolutely still do that. And what I'm doing with that is I'm reviewing the different survey responses and how people are talking about these challenges. And both I'm focusing on the topics and I'm focusing on the languaging and I'm focusing on the context of the description of this. And what that is allowing me to do is to understand the conversation going on in your head relevant to the content that I create, the products and services that I create, and to brainstorm and contemplate ways that I can serve you better through this. So entering the conversation in your head, one way that you can do that is you can put out a survey. And I'm using Ryan Levesque's ASK methodology for that, his ASK book. I'm basically doing a deep dive survey, you know, little variations on it based on having done it a bunch of times myself. But that's fundamentally what we're doing here. Is I'm figuring out the core conversational topics that my audience has going on, and it's a highly effective way to do it. And and using the ASK methodology, you can get a good sense of where people would be predisposed to going deeper with you if you were to create an offer around those challenges and around those questions. Likewise, if you are involved in creating any kind of marketing for a specific market, there are conversations that aren't just going on in your prospects' heads. There are conversations that go on in public. There are conversations, you know, number one, you can research the beauty of the internet that Robert Collier never had access to. Is that there are so many of these conversations in our markets, no matter how niche the market is, are going on, for example, on Reddit forums, in Facebook groups. They're going on in public and semi-public places where you can be a fly on the wall or you can be a participant and you can get in there and you can see in people's own language how they are talking about what's going on in the world and how it relates to whatever particular topic. So investing, health, you know, relationship, whatever. You can get a sense from looking at all these forums, and you know, there it used to be forums, and now I call it forums because that's, you know, I'm an old fogey at nearly 40 years old. And that's what I knew them as coming up. But you look at Reddit, you look at Facebook groups, you look at any places where these conversations are going on, and if you pay attention, you can start to get a sense of you know what that conversation is and how you might respond to that in your marketing and in your offer creation. Likewise, Amazon reviews are another great place for that, especially the really positive and really negative reviews. You can look at what people have said and how that might reflect the desires that they have, like the desires that are fulfilled in the five-star reviews, the desires that are that other products come up short on in the one-star reviews, and look at that. And even more valuable potentially is to have a few good conversations with people who are prospects in your market. I remember Marcella Allison has this great story that she told at one point, and Marcella's excellent copywriter. She was doing health products and she was doing something related. Well, basically it was a product for women where you would end up in an adult diaper. And she was shopping one day and she decided to, turn her cart towards the aisle where the adult diapers would be. And she saw a woman who was struggling to get a package off the shelf, and Marcella just helped her out. And then Marcella had a conversation with this woman. She just had this extended conversation with this woman, just trying to connect with her. I think Marcella was pretty transparent. Marcella is a great conversationalist. So I think she was pretty transparent about, hey, I'm actually like writing things related to this, like speaking to people who are in the situation that you are. And there are things that I would like to know. And she got like those little side comments that are the most emotional aspect of it. And she got one of those little quips from the person that she was speaking with, and it turned into a headline and it turned into a control for the product. And so having personal conversations with people in your marketplace and really just tapping into that conversation that's going on in their head that they're willing, like that they don't have people to speak with necessarily about it. If you are the person that they can speak with about it, then you may find incredible opportunity in that. And then finally, and this one is a little, I don't know, there's some pluses and minuses to this. It's become a buyer in your market. So one of the things that can happen, so let's start with the minuses about this. The first company that I worked for, we did IT training. And the guy who owned the company, he kind of started off as a buyer in the market. Like he went through the training and then he became a trainer. And then he started building this training company. And all along, he thought he was still the buyer in the market. But at some point, he was building this like $10 million house based on the success of the company. And he was in this completely different place than the average buyer of IT training to get started or get ahead in their careers. And he still thought that he thought like his prospects, which, you know, there was a disconnect in that. That said, when I decided, actually in 2008, which was great timing, that I wanted to become an investment copywriter, the first thing that I did was said, how can I actively start to manage my investments and see what comes of that, right? How can I become an investor so that I understand the emotional experience of making a decision with thousands of dollars of your money and investing in this stock and seeing it go up or seeing it go down, and like, what is that experience like and how can I better understand investors through that? And so becoming a buyer in your market or entering markets where you are already a buyer. So like if you're a fitness enthusiast, maybe it makes sense to be a fitness copywriter. If you, you know, if you've been dealing with relationship issues and you're starting to figure things out, maybe becoming a relationship copywriter where you work with other people who are doing that, or, you know, whatever it is, right? If you were a buyer in the market, you can have some advantages because you understand the felt and lived experience of your prospects. And again, that helps you enter the conversation in the prospect's head because you are that. So again, just quickly running through the different things in my list here, you can survey the market and you can get responses, and there are ways to get better responses that help you understand what people are most likely to respond to. You can have conversation. You can be a fly on the wall for conversations in the forms of forums and Facebook groups and Reddit subreddits, etc. You can look at reviews of other products online and see how people are reacting to products in that marketplace. You can have personal conversations with the audience that you're looking to speak to, and you can become a buyer. Like you can get involved in markets in certain ways and become a buyer, and it will help you enter the conversation already going on in your prospect's head. No matter which way you go about it, or no matter how you mix and match these different ideas, this fundamental principle applies that the better you know your prospect, the better you understand what negatives they're trying to get away from, what positives they're trying to move towards, the more effective you are going to be in entering the conversation in your prospect's head, connecting with them on that level. And then, as Robert Collier says, redirecting that conversation in an effective way towards whatever it is, whatever action it is that you want them to take. And that is one of the most powerful things that you can learn to do as a copywriter. And I'll include some links to some additional resources that were mentioned throughout this, as well as to my BTMS Insiders training library, which goes deep into a lot of this, training of actually how to do this as a copywriter. Over 100 hours, a couple dozen different training titles in there, and you get access to all of it for one low monthly fee. Just like Netflix, you pay that low monthly fee and you can instantly stream anything and everything. So I'm Roy Furr. This has been your daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. What do you think? Leave a comment with this episode. Let me know on a scale of 1 to 10 how valuable you're finding it and why. What are your action items? What are your takeaways? Also, tap that like button before you go so you get more content like this delivered to you, and the magical algorithms of the internet will share it with more people like you who will find it valuable. You can share it directly and subscribe before you go. Subscribe here. Also go to BreakthroughMarketingSecrets.com and get my daily emails if you're not already on the list. Get daily episode notifications plus more exclusive content for email subscribers. I'm Roy Furrer. This has been your daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Always aim for 10 out of 10 value. Hope I've delivered it here, and I'll catch you again in the next episode. Thank you once again for tuning in to this daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Remember, check out the links with this episode for even more value. Now make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, and engage in every way you can to keep this show going and growing and delivering daily value to you. I'll catch you soon for your next big breakthrough.